Okay, so we'll start the fifth chapter of second canto, titled The Cause of All Causes. And Srila Vishnu Chakita titles this chapter as Primary Creation, Sarga. So, the previous chapter, we saw how Parikshit Maharaj asked this question regarding, how does primary creation happen? How does secondary creation happen? Does it happen simultaneously, or does it happen sequentially, like that? And in response to that, Shukadeva Goswami, Rishikesham Anusmritya Prativaktum Prachakrame, it was mentioned. He remembered Rishikesha and started to offer prayers for empowerment. We saw that, those beautiful prayers by Shukadeva Goswami. So now, and then he promised Parikshit Maharaj that he will answer these questions by quoting the conversation that happened between Brahmaji and Narada Muni. Okay, so that's what we are going to see now. Okay, so Narada Muni asks Brahmaji, once upon a time. Okay, so it should be understood that the kind of questions that Narada Muni asked, it seems like, very, how could Narada Muni be so ignorant? But Brahmaji understood that Narada Muni was asking these questions just so that others don't come to such wrong conclusions. Okay, very interesting questions that Narada Muni is going to ask Brahmaji. Okay, so he says, Narada Uvacha, Deva Deva Namastestu Bhuta Bhavana Purvaja Tadvijanehi Yajnanam Atma Tattva Nidarshanam. O Deva Deva, O Lord of all demigods, Bhuta Bhavana, O creator of all living entities, O Purvaja, O firstborn living entity, Namastestu, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Tadvijanehi Yajnanam Atma Tattva Nidarshanam. You definitely know that knowledge, Atma Tattva Nidarshanam, that which reveals the truth about Atma and Paramatma. So he's first glorifying Brahmaji, that you certainly know, about all the truths about the soul and the super soul. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, this section establishes the parampara system. The Lord spoke the knowledge to Brahma, Brahma spoke to Narada Muni, Narada Muni spoke to Vyasadeva, Vyasadeva spoke to Shukadeva Goswami, and Shukadeva Goswami is speaking to Parikshit Maharaj. Knowledge received by service and submission is more effective than knowledge received in exchange for money. That's what Prabhupada says. Service and submission is better than knowledge received in exchange for money. Then he says, okay, so what is it that you want to know, my dear Narada Muni? So he asks six questions. This question is the seed for what Brahmaji is going to speak in the next two chapters, fifth and sixth chapter. This is the seed question. Okay, he says, Yadrupam yadadishtanam yatasrishtam idam prabho yat samstam yat param yatcha tattvam vadatattvatah. Yadrupam, my dear Brahmaji, Yad Rupam, what are the characteristics of this universe? Yad Adishtanam, on what is this universe dependent on? Who is the shelter of this universe? Yata Srishtam, how is this universe created? These three questions will be answered in this chapter. Okay? Yat Samstam, into what does it merge at the time of destruction? Okay, yat param means who is the supermost controller of this universe and also yourself. Yat cha, what are the components, what are the basic ingredients of this universe. Okay, so six questions are asked. Yadrupam, yadadishtanam, yadasrishtam idam prabho, yat samstam, yat param yatcha, tat tatvam vadatatvataha. Like that. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, Narada Muni wants factual answers. Where does he indicate factual answers? Tatvataha, please tell in truth. I am not asking your opinion. Please speak, please tell the facts. So Prabhupada writes, Narada Muni wants factual answers and not theories manufactured by fertile brains. Transcendental knowledge regarding the soul and super soul includes knowledge of the phenomenal world and the basis of its creation. Any intelligent person can make the following observations about the material world. Prabhupada says, few things just by observing you can come to a conclusion if you have common sense. He says, first thing, the jivas are factual. Second, material world is factual. Third, there is some intelligence controlling the two. Nothing is by chance. Okay. So, once Prabhupada was speaking with his disciples. So, at that time one of the disciples told him, you know, Prabhupada, just recently this person got a Nobel Prize for making significant advancement in the, you know, chance theory, you know, how everything happened by chance. Instantly Prabhupada said, if everything happens by chance, then his theory also would have come by chance. Why should he get the Nobel Prize for that? You understand? If everything came by chance, so what he means is, he accepted the Nobel Prize means what? Everything except my theory came by chance. My theory is my own creation. It didn't come by chance. That's why he accepts the Nobel Prize. Na? So Prabhupada said, if everything came by chance, then why did he accept the Nobel Prize? What is his credit? His theory also came by chance. What is his glory in propounding that theory like that? So Prabhupada says, these three things, just by observing, any person with common sense can understand. Jivas are factual, the material world is factual, and there is some intelligence which is controlling the two. Okay? So Prabhupada says, but how to understand this ultimate cause? How to understand this person who is controlling the two? Prabhupada says, first, by genuine inquiry. Second, by approaching a bona fide spiritual master. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. That's the process Prabhupada says. Okay. So these six questions. Okay. Try to, without looking at the screen, try to recall what are the six questions that Narada Muni asked. First, the form of the universe, yad rupam, the shelter of the universe, yad adishtanam, yatasrishtam, how it's created, yat samstam, unto which it will merge at the time of destruction. 5. Yad rupam, yad adishtanam, yatasrishtam idam prabhu, yat samstam, yat param. Yat param, who is the person who is above all controlling this? And yatcha, what are the material ingredients of this universe? Okay. Yes.
Questions seem to be similar, like yat adishtanam and yat param, on what is it dependent and what its shelter is. It seems to refer to the same thing, right?
Yeah. So, its shelter means it will become little more clearer that Yat Param is more like who is your shelter also? Who is controlling you? Is there, are you the shelter? Are you the controller? Or is there someone controlling you? It's addressed towards Brahma, because when the answer comes, it will become a little more clearer.
And then the difference between which is that? Yad Rupam and Yatcha. Because the characteristics of the universe or what it's composed of is essentially the same thing as Yatcha. No?
Yatcha is what are the material ingredients, and Yad Rupam is what is the form. Slightly different. When we see the answer, it will become a little more clearer. Okay. Okay. So now he says, why am I asking you these questions? He is going to this first theme is titled as Narada Muni's doubts, convictions and questions. Questions he has already asked. Yadrupam, yadadishtanam, yatasrishtam, idam prabhu. So now he is asking his doubts and convictions. So now he is going to present his convictions. Why am I asking these questions to you? Because I am convinced of the following. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He is going to state. He says, Sarvam hyetat bhavan veda bhuta bhavya bhavat prabhu karamalaka vad vishvam vijnana vasitam tava. Sarvam hi etat bhavan veda. My dear Lord, you know everything. Bhutam, bhavyam, bhavat. In the past, present and future, you know about everything. Okay. Kara amalakavat vishvam. There is a nyaya called Kara amalaka nyaya. What does it mean? Anyone knows? In other languages also the exact same. Yeah. Having something on your palm, right in front of your eyes, if someone has to describe something, okay, if it is right in front of his eyes, he can look at it and explain everything clearly without missing a detail. Okay. So here, Narada Muni is mentioning that you know everything about this universe, past, present and future, because Vishvam Vijnana Avasitam Tava, because you have understood this universe, because you understand this universe with detailed knowledge. Just like a person who has an amalaki fruit on his hand can look at it and exactly describe how it looks like. Similarly, you being the chief engineer of this universe can exactly describe with minute details how this universe is created. So therefore, you must be knowing everything. So, Prabhupada here writes in the purport, the direct manufacturer of a particular thing is supposed to know how he learned the art of manufacturing, where he got the ingredients, how he set it up, how the products in the manufacturing process are being turned out and everything. Because Brahma is the firstborn living being, naturally he is supposed to know everything about creative functions. Okay. He says, you must be knowing all these things. Okay. So you are the most qualified person to answer these questions. And then he says, Yad vijnano yadadaro yad parastvam yadatmakah ekasrajasi bhutani bhutairevatma mayaya. And he says, few more things. My anuman based on my pratyaksha. He says, I have seen you. I am your son. I have seen you all the while. And seeing your activities, this is my conclusion. He says, yad vijnano, I don't see anyone else who is the source of your knowledge. Yet adharo, I have never seen you taking shelter of anyone. You seem to do everything, you know, on yourself. Yat parastvam. I don't see yourself being dependent on anyone. Okay? And yad atmakah. You are the source of yourself. Okay? Ekah srijasi bhutani bhutairevatma mayaya. And it seems like my observation is that ekah, you alone srijasi bhutani, you alone create all the living entities bhutaireva, with all these elements which also seem to belong to you only. Atma mayaya, from your own energy, with your own ingredients, you alone seem to create everything that's found in this universe, and you don't seem to take shelter of anyone, you don't seem to take help of anyone, you don't seem to take knowledge from anyone. So as far as my pratyaksha goes, I am convinced that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what he is telling. Okay. Of course, Prabhupada translates it in a slightly different way. Prabhupada translates it as, are you the source of your own knowledge? Are you your own shelter? Are you dependent on yourself? Are you, do you alone create this whole material universe based on your energy? Like that, Prabhupada frames the whole thing in the form of a question, because that is the mode of Narada Muni. Though he, in these questions, in these verses, he is presenting as if I am convinced that you are the Supreme Lord, but there is some element of doubt in his heart which he will express after a few verses. Because that is the mood with which he is speaking, he is not completely convinced, though based on these words it looks like he is convinced, but there is an element of doubt within his heart. Therefore, considering that mood of Narada Muni, Prabhupada phrases this whole verse in the form of a question. So here I'll read Prabhupada's translation. Prabhupada writes, my dear father, what is the source of your knowledge? Under whose protection are you standing? And under whom are you working? What is your real position? Do you alone create all entities with material elements by your personal energy? Because though, literally if you see, look at the verse, it's not a question. But because the mood of Narada Muni is, there is an element of doubt within his heart, therefore Prabhupada phrases this whole thing in the form of a question. Okay? Okay, I won't read the purport because it will, I suggest you also don't look at the purport right now because it will break the suspense. Okay? We'll go back and then we'll come back to the purport. We'll go ahead and we'll come back to the purport. So he says, I am convinced that you are the source of your knowledge. I don't see you taking shelter. So therefore, based on my pratyaksha, this is my anuman, that you must be the ultimate controller. And then he gives an analogy to explain this. Very, very, very famous analogy. It will occur throughout in Srimad Bhagavatam. Whenever the independent nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to be described, the Lord as the independent creator, this analogy of the spider always comes. Atman bhavaya setani na para bhavayan swayam atma shaktim avashtabhya urna nabir ivaklamaha. Urna nabi means a spider. What a spider does? A spider uses its own saliva to create the web. A spider does not search out for raw materials from outside. Okay? And when it creates the web, it creates on its own. It doesn't take the help of anyone else to create the web. Okay? Its own raw materials, own energy, independent, not dependent on anyone else to create the web. doesn't take anyone else's shelter. It has its own knowledge. It knows on its own how to create the web. And whenever it does not want, it winds up. It winds up the web. How many of you have seen a spider winding up the web? Last year, I remember, I'll just check if that video is there. Or Madhu Madhav Prabhu, I took second canto for them also. So he had taken this video of spider winding up its web. So actually, first time I also saw that. It was so fascinating. I'll just check if it's there, but it's really fascinating to see. Anyway, if I get it, I'll show it to you next time. So he says, he gives this example of a spider. Interestingly, Brahma, when he glorifies the Supreme Lord, he uses the same example to show how, just like a spider, you are independent. Have a question? So this analogy of spider comes many, many times in Srimad Bhagavatam, starting with the second canto. First canto, anywhere it comes? No. Starting with the second canto, in second canto only, I think it comes twice. And then third canto, I think 2-3 times it comes. So this analogy of spider, whenever the independent nature of the Supreme Lord or someone is to be described, this analogy of spider is used. So that's what it says, just like an urnanabi, a spider, it uses its own raw material, its own energy, its own knowledge to create the web whenever it wants, without taking help or shelter from anyone. And whenever it does not want, it winds up on its own. So he says, Atma Shaktim Avashtabhya, situated in your own energy, like a spider creating his web. And you never see a spider, after creating the web, completely exhausted and lying down like this. As soon as the web is created, you see the spider moving around in the web here and there. Okay? A spider never gets fatigued by creating the web. Or maybe it does, but we would never know. But at least, here he says, just like a spider. So these are the various characteristics of a spider. What are the various characteristics that we have seen? Please raise your hands and tell. No need for mic. Just tell like that. First characteristic, it creates the web. Second, it uses its own material, own saliva. Third, that point was not mentioned. That's your own point. Okay, that's also a valid point, but it's not mentioned here. It uses its own energy, not borrowed energy. Okay. His own knowledge, not borrowed knowledge. Next. Whenever it does not want, it winds up on its own. What else? It does not require others' help or shelter. So these are the various points. And seventh point. Aklamaha. It does not become fatigued by such an endeavor. 7 points. So Narada Muni is telling, just like a spider, which creates on its own without taking anyone's help or shelter, using its own raw materials, using its own knowledge, and winds up whenever it wants and doesn't get fatigued. Similarly, I see that you create this universe using your own raw materials, using your own knowledge, without taking help or shelter from anyone. And whenever you want, I think you are the one who winds up this universe also. And I have never seen you become fatigued. Therefore, this forces me to conclude that you must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is it clear? So, Prabhupada here writes in the purport, the best example of self-sufficiency is the sun. The sun does not require to be illuminated by any other body. Rather, it is the sun which helps all other illuminating agents. For in the presence of the sun, no other illuminating agent becomes prominent. Narada compared the position of Brahma to the self-sufficiency of the spider. See, there, though in the fourth question, fourth verse, Prabhupada phrased the question in the form of a question, phrased the verse in the form of a question. But here in the fifth purport, Prabhupada is making, clarifying. He says, Narada Muni compared the position of Brahma to the self-sufficiency of the spider who creates its own field of activities without any other's help by employment of its own energetic creation of saliva. Okay. So then, again, he goes one step further. Naham veda param hyasmin na param nasamam vibho nama rupa gunair bhavyam sadasat kinchid anyataha. My dear Lord Vibho, na aham veda, I certainly do not know kinchid anyataha. I do not know of any other source from which all these things arise. Param, aparam, samam, either some, I do not know of anything in this material world which is either superior or inferior or medium. Nama rupa gunair bhavyam. Okay. Anything that which has a name, a form and qualities. Sad asad. Either gross or subtle. Anything that you can imagine within this universe having a name, form, quality. Either subtle or gross. Inferior like the devatas. Sorry, inferior like the animals, superior like the devatas, or medium like the human beings. Nothing of this material world that I know arising from anything else other than you. So therefore, I am convinced that you must be the creator. You must be the summum bonum of this material universe. Okay. So, but there is only one activity of yours that makes me doubt. Maybe there is someone else who is superior to you. All of your activities, I am convinced that you are the Supreme Lord. Except for one activity. What is that? He says, Sabhavan acharat ghoram yattapas susamahitaha dhena kedaya senastvam parashankam chayachasi. Bhavan acharat goram tapah susamahitah. Sometimes I see you performing intense austerities. Susamahitah, in great samadhi. Tena kedayase nastvam. By this activity, you are bewildering me. Parashankam cha yachasi. You are producing a doubt in my heart that maybe there is someone else. But other than this, I am convinced that you must be the Supreme Lord. So you just clarify this doubt. Explain to me why you are performing such intense austerities. Okay. And then, you know, just clear this doubt so that I can, without a doubt, be convinced that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just clear this one doubt of mine. Okay. So, Prabhupada writes in the purport, one should follow Narada Muni and not accept his spiritual master blindly as God himself. No one can be God if he is worshipping another superior. The Ahangropasita worships himself to become God, but God doesn't need to worship anyone including himself to become God. Okay? Like that. So, that's what So Narada Muni has presented his questions, 6 questions, his convictions based on his observation. Urnanabir Ivaklamaha, just like a spider, that spider thing encapsulates the whole thing, the convictions of Narada Muni. And in 2.5.7, he presents his doubt. But only one thing, one activity makes me a little bit doubtful. Please clarify this doubt. Then he concludes his questions by mentioning Etanme Pruchata Sarvam Sarvagya Sakaleshwara Vijanehi Yatevadam Aham Bodhyenu Shasitaha. O Sarvagya, though I have a doubt, I am still convinced that you are Sarvagya, you know everything. Sakala Ishwara, O Lord of all things, Vijanihi, please let me know. Etadme Pruchata Sarvam, about everything that I have asked you. But answer in such a way, Yata Eva Anushasitaha, after being taught by you, Aham Buddhye, without any doubt, I learn all these subject matters. Don't just answer, but answer in such a way that being taught by you, I should have no more doubts. So, please answer these questions. Like that, Narada Muni is asking Brahmaji. So, Prabhupada writes in the purport, the inquiries made by Narada Muni are very important for everyone concerned. And as such, Narada requested Brahmaji to deem them suitable so that all others who may come in the line of disciplic succession of the Brahma Sampradaya may also know them properly without any difficulty. Okay. So, that's what Narada Muni's questions, convictions and doubts. Ulta likh diya maine. Doubts, convictions. First he presents his questions and then his convictions and then doubts. Okay. Shall we move to the next section? Yes, Prabhu. Why? Why not allow just Narada Muni to mention? I don't know. He would have more elaborately, right. I don't know. Yeah, this is not the first time. In practically every canto, Narada Muni is going to come.
Wanted to give opportunity to others and glorify. He don't want to glorify the Lord by means of him only. So he gave the Sukadeva Goswami to glorify Lord in that way. And he always speaks, so he wanted to hear.
Yeah. That could be definitely be one of the reasons. And one more reason you have.
Bhagavatam, he has to describe about himself, his pastimes.
That's another reason. And also it is mentioned about Shukadeva Goswami. Yes, Swanubhavam Akila Shruti Saram Ekam Adhyatma Deepam Atitir Shatam Tamondam, it is mentioned. So what Shukadeva Goswami is speaking, he is not just parroting Narada Muni. He is speaking is adding his own realizations. It's realized knowledge. So therefore, when it comes, just like a mango is very sweet, but after being eaten by a parrot, it becomes all the more sweeter. So similarly, Shukadeva Goswami is not just repeating the conversation that happened between Narada Muni and Brahmaji, but he is adding his own valuable realizations to it. So therefore, it is more sweeter than. And he is also putting everything in the overall context of, the overall theme he has in mind and what aspect of the conversation to fit in so that the theme is not deviated, he knows. So this is my speculation. So like that. Yes.
But in this case, I mean, it's this is Narada Muni in our particular kalpa, because in the fifth chapter of the first canto, he already mentions that he was informed of the Chaturshloki of Bhagavatam.
He was
informed of the Chaturshloki of Bhagavatam by the Bhaktivedantas, and at least I think that's Jiva Goswami's commentary, that he was instructed of the Chaturshloki. So he's already aware of who the Lord is. And of the Lord's position.
That's why before starting this, I clarified. That's how Vishnu Jagadragut starts his commentary to this chapter. One should not conclude. Brahmaji had no doubt about. He exactly knew that Narada Muni had answers to all these questions. Narada Muni also asked for the benefit of others, not that he was not aware. Okay. So that is made very clear. At no point was Narada Muni ignorant of these subject matters. He wanted Brahmaji himself to clarify for the rest of the universe to know, for all the posterity to know from the mouth of the Supreme Creator about the glories of the Supreme Lord with respect to creating this material world. So, in doing that, Narada Muni is, see, one character of Narada Muni that you see, he will do the needful. Whatever is needed to bring out the glories of the Lord in a perfect way, he will do the needful. Okay? Be it sometimes he would go to Ravana, and Ravana would decide to kill Narada Muni. So he once took up his sword and started slicing Narada Muni's head. The sword just passed through his head and came out the other way without doing anything to Narada Muni. And then he kept on slicing his body, nothing happened. The sword just passed through this body. Shameless Ravana put aside the sword and asked Narada Muni, "Hey, I want a similar body. Can you tell me? Tell me, how can I get the same body? Just now you tried to kill this person and now you are shamelessly asking." So he was very fearlessly standing there. And sometimes some demon comes, he would run away in fear. Okay. So whatever is needed for the pastime to progress, whatever is needed for for Bhagavatam to come forth, for the pastimes of the Supreme Lord to manifest, Narada Muni does the needful. Here he is asking questions like an ignorant person. Elsewhere he will go and instruct on the same knowledge to so many people and deliver them. Okay. Somewhere else he will just facilitate and get the knowledge through someone else. So whatever is the need, he will do the needful. That is the character of Narada Muni. Here he is asking, because who has seen Brahma personally? Very few people, his own sons. I am being one amongst Brahmaji's sons. He is telling, I have pratyaksha praman of Brahma. I have seen him with my own eyes doing his daily activities. None of you have. So if you think pratyaksha is really powerful praman, then you should accept my pratyaksha. You don't have any pratyaksha of Brahma. Accept my pratyaksha. I have seen Brahma. And this is my anuman. If you all have these pratyaksha, then you would come to a similar conclusion. So therefore, representing you, I am concluding like that. So let's see what Brahma has to say. So Brahma is going to speak now. Yes. I don't exactly recall. Anyone knows this? Anyone has heard this? Yeah, what does Narada Muni say? Something like that, huh? And then sometimes he goes to Kamsa and tells, hey, he makes Kamsa kill those 8 children of Devaki, because that was the need of the hour, do the needful. So that is the he is not attached, he is willing to play any role. Just he is the do the needful nature. That is in three words the nature of Narada Muni. Do the needful, whatever is needed for the pastime too. He is willing to mold, no personal, how can I act like an ignorant person? How can I be fearful of this ignorant demon? How can I act as a spiritual master of a hunter? You know, there are so many exalted people, Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, you know, this Mrigari hunter, you know, why should I spend time with? Do the needful, whatever is needed for someone to get bhakti, for the Supreme Lord to appear, he is willing to play any role. That is the nature of Narada Muni. Okay. So, here, he has presented his questions, convictions and doubts. So now, let's see. Brahmaji has the best chance. Whatever, even Brahmaji might not have thought, wow, you know, so many reasons why anyone could conclude that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All I need to do is just explain why I am performing these austerities. I am, so Brahmaji is made of intelligence. His body is made of intelligence. So he can easily come up with a very sound reason why he performed austerities. Okay, and establish his supreme nature. But what does Brahmaji say to Narada Muni? Okay, very interesting conversation that's going to, interesting reply that Brahmaji is going to say. Okay, Brahma vacha samyakkarinikasyedam vatsate vichikitsitam yadaham chodita saumya bhagavad virya darshane. So he says, Saumya, O gentle, Saumya vatsa, O gentle son, O auspicious son, Narada Muni, Samyak Karunikasya, you are Karunikasya, you are so merciful to me, you are so compassionate to me. Te Vichikitsitam Samyak, your doubt is perfect. Why your doubt is perfect? Because of this doubt, yad aham choditah bhagavad virya darshane. Because of this doubt, I have got an opportunity to meditate on the prowess of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in creating this material universe. You have given me an opportunity to meditate on the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, you are very compassionate to me. And your doubts are perfect because your questions has inspired me to meditate on the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Is it clear? So Brahmaji feels so moved, so grateful to his own son Narada Muni. Thank you very much for asking this question. Because of this question, I am feeling inspired. I am getting an opportunity to meditate and also speak about the prowess and pastimes of the Supreme Lord with respect to creating this material universe. Thank you very much. Like that. So Prabhupada in the purport writes about the basic principle of missionary activities. Prabhupada says, Brahmaji, being so questioned by Narada Muni, congratulated him, for it is usual for the devotees to become very enthusiastic whenever they are questioned concerning the Almighty Personality of Godhead. That is the sign of a pure devotee of the Lord. Such discourses on the transcendental activities of the Lord purify the atmosphere in which such discussions are held, and the devotees thus become enlivened while answering such questions. It is purifying both for the questioners and for one who answers the questions. The pure devotees are not only satisfied by knowing everything about the Lord, but are also eager to broadcast the information to others, for they want to see that the glories of the Lord are known to everyone. Thus the devotees feel satisfied when such an opportunity is offered to them. This is the principle of missionary activities. Okay. So like that. So in 7th canto also Prabhupada in one of the purports talks about the principle of missionary activities. So he says, that verse talks about Atma Upamyena Sarvatra, the nature of a devotee, how he sees everyone as equal to himself, which means he considers his happiness, their happiness as, you know, when he becomes happy on experiencing something, then he sees, oh, this person must also become happy by experiencing the same thing, so let me do it for him. If he is suffering because of experiencing something, then he sees, oh, if this person also experienced this, he will feel very miserable. So let me see how I can help him not experience that miserable thing. So in the purport, Prabhupada writes, he says, what is this Atma Upamyena Sarvatra? Atma Upamayena Sarvatra. Prabhupada says that the devotee thinks that my life was so miserable before I took up to Krishna consciousness. And now that I have taken up to Krishna consciousness, I have become so happy. So I am seeing now in this material world, everyone is suffering so much. So therefore, let me share Krishna consciousness with everyone. Prabhupada writes, that is the basic principle of missionary activities. Desiring to share one's happiness with everyone by spreading the teachings of Krishna consciousness, like that. Okay. And then Brahmaji first thanks him. Thank you very much. You have given me an opportunity to meditate on the activities of the Lord and also speak about it. Then he says, Nandritam tava tachapi yata mam prabhavishi boho avigyaya paramatta yata vatvamyato hime. My dear son, tava tachapi yata mam prabhavishi, whatever you have spoken about me, na andritam. Ramaji says, there is, it's right. Whatever you have spoken about me is right. Which means there is an element of truth to what you have spoken. Just like we discussed about this 3D. Okay, we discussed about this 3D movie. Like as soon as they wear these goggles, everyone starts, you know, trying to grab that ice cream or, you know, the laddu or whatever comes. Everyone is trying to do. So therefore, but though nothing exists there, but there is some element of truth to it, isn't it? That's why they are all doing like that. So therefore, in that sense, Brahmaji tells that, yes, yes, there is an element of truth to what you are speaking. Na andritam. Ritam means truth. Sarvameta dritam manye. Arjuna tells, whatever you speak is truth, Krishna. I accept it as truth. Na andritam. Andritam means false. Na andritam means it's not false. Whatever you are speaking is not false. It is true. Why? He says, yataha avigyaya parammatta etavattvam hime. Because people who do not know the difference between me and the Lord, people who do not know the definition of a jivatma and Bhagavan, when they observe these activities of mine, it is natural for them to come to this conclusion. Like for example, you see people concluding someone who Prabhupada always says creates some ashes from his hand or whatever, some gold from his hand, people conclude that he is Bhagavan. Why? Because they do not know who is Bhagavan, what is the definition of Bhagavan, what is the definition of a Jivatma. So under such clouded intelligence, for lack of proper understanding, people with such lack of proper understanding, when they see such activities, it is natural for them to conclude, just like a person wearing these goggles entering into that theater and watching the screen, even though no ice cream, grapes or laddu is manifesting, it is natural for him to start trying to grab those things. Okay, so it is natural. So therefore Brahmaji starts by telling, yes, yes, there is an element of truth to what you say, that it is true that I am the Supreme Lord, but for whom? For those people who do not know the difference between me and the Lord, for them it is very natural to conclude, seeing my activities, that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is it clear? So Prabhupada writes in the purport, material scientists trying to understand the power of the Lord is like Dr. Frog trying to understand the length and breadth of the ocean. Dr. Frog, you know. Materialistic people accept normal people as God or as incarnations, and this may be gradually extended till Brahma, but only people who don't know about God can make such a mistake. But Narada Muni is not such an ignorant person. Why is he questioning like Dr. Frog? One may say, yes, true, but why should Narada Muni question like this? So Prabhupada writes, this is the will of the Lord. Just like Arjuna was put into such an illusion so that Bhagavad Gita could come out, similarly Narada Muni is speaking like this so that Bhagavatam could come out. Chatushloki Bhagavatam is going to manifest. Okay, one cannot worship a man as God, however great he may be. Prabhupada gives an example. King Yudhishthir was as great a king as Lord Ram, and a better moralist than Krishna, isn't it? Like you would have studied about the rule of Yudhishthir Maharaj. Kamam vavarsha parjanyo sarva kama dugamahi. You have read, no? Such was the rule of Yudhishthir Maharaj, that the earth supplied in plenty, more than what was necessary. Whenever it was supposed to rain, it would rain. The cows would produce so much milk that, you know, even without having to milk, you know, milk would be flowing from their udder, and you know, the ground would become completely moist with their milk. So Prabhupada writes, Yudhishthir Maharaj was as good a king as Lord Ram, and a better moralist than Krishna. But that does not mean that Yudhishthir Maharaj is a Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord is a totally different identity at all times and no idea of anthropomorphism can be applied to him. What is anthropomorphism? So you cannot extend the you cannot make the perfect human being the God. Okay. You cannot make, according to your opinion, the perfect human being, you cannot make him God. Okay. God is not made as the image of man. Man is made as the image of God. So anthropomorphism is to extend, make the man perfect, perfect, perfect. At the culmination of perfection of man, he becomes God. Not like that. That is anthropomorphism. Okay. So Brahmaji says, true, true, there is an element of truth to it. All those people who are wearing these goggles, that's how they will see. But they should remove the goggles and see. So he says, so what is the truth? The truth is, yena swarochisha vishvam rochitam rochayamyaham yatar kognir yatasomo yatar rakshagrihatarakah. The truth is that yena swarochisha vishvam rochitam rochayami aham. Swarochisha. Swarochisha means the Lord who is self-manifesting. Yena swarochisha vishvam rochitam rochayamyaham. I manifest that universe which has already been manifest by the self-manifesting Lord. Is it clear? I manifest that universe which has already been manifest by the self-manifesting Lord. The Lord is self-manifesting and he has manifested this universe, and I re-manifest what has already been manifest. So in Sanskrit this is called Pishta Peshana Nyaya. Anyone has heard this Nyaya? Pishta Peshana Nyaya. What is Pishta? पीट पीट बोलते हैं ना, क्या है वो? आटा. पिष्ट पेषण न्याय, टू ग्राइंड व्हाट हैज ऑलरेडी बीन ग्राउंड. आपको पूरा पीट बन गया हो, उसको बार बार और पीसने से कुछ नहीं होने वाला है. ऑलरेडी द हार्ड वर्क हैज बीन डन बाय समवन एल्स. इफ यू ग्राइंड इट फॉर वन मोर आवर, इट्स गोइंग टू रिमेन पाउडर ओनली. नथिंग इज गोइंग टू चेंज. ओके. So that's what Brahmaji is telling. He has already created it. Mera isme kuch, there is no nothing I can take credit of. Yena swarochisha vishvam rochitam rochayamyaham. What he has already created, that's what I re-manifest. That's all. Yatar kognir yata somo yatar kshagriha taraka. He is giving a very, very interesting analogy to explain this. Okay, so now the question: why does sun illuminate a particular part of this universe and does not illuminate some other part? Can anyone answer? Why the sun or the moon or the stars illuminate some parts of this universe and does not illuminate other parts? Yes, bro. Huh? Okay, that is one understanding. Anything else? Huh? Okay, that is one understanding. Anything else? They are under the control of the Lord. Simple answer that Brahmaji gives. Because the Lord did not want that those regions to get illuminated, therefore none of the constellations and stars, they illuminate that region. Not that they are incapable, but the Lord did not want those regions to get illuminated, so they don't illuminate. That's all. Simple. So similarly, the The Lord has already decided and He has already made all arrangements for the universe to get manifested. Okay? And He has already manifested the universe. I just re-manifest it. That's all. Nothing else I do. Okay? So, here Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, just as the sun and other luminaries reveal what is revealed, already revealed by the Lord. We may think that sunlight is falling on some place and by that sunlight we are seeing. Okay? And sunlight is not falling on some other place and that's why we are not able to see. So, it's not like that. There is something beyond it. The Lord has already revealed all these areas, and those areas which the Lord has already revealed, sunlight falls and re-reveals them. That is the truth. Similarly, the Lord already manifested the universe, and whatever part He has manifested, Brahmaji can re-manifest. That's all. Okay? Okay, like that. So Prabhupada writes in the purport here, Narada Muni wanted to get the verdict of the supreme authority Brahma on the matter of creation. Just as the verdict of the supreme court judge is topmost, similarly he wanted to get Brahmaji's verdict. Brahma also says in Brahma Samhita, Yasya Prabha Prabhavato Jagadanda Koti. Yasya Prabha. It's his own. The whole Brahma Jyoti is his bodily effulgence on which the whole material manifestation is suspended. Okay. Yasya Prabha is the same as Brahmanohi Pratishtaham. Okay. And that is the same as Swarochisha. Prabhupada is explaining. What Brahmaji calls as Yasya Prabha Prabhavato in Brahma Samhita and what the Supreme Lord says as Brahmanohi Pratishtaham in Bhagavad Gita is the same as what Brahmaji is mentioning here as Yena Swarochisha, the self-manifesting or self-effulgent. This all-pervading Brahma Jyoti is the potential seed of all creation. Okay, like that. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, last paragraph I am reading as it is. One should not expect the Lord to create like a blacksmith with a hammer and other instruments. The Lord creates by His potencies. He has multifarious potencies. Parasya Shaktir Vividaiva Shruyate. Just as the small seed of a banyan fruit has the potency to create a big banyan tree, the Lord disseminates all varieties of seeds by His potential Brahma Jyoti, Swarochisha. And the seeds are made to develop by the watering process of persons like Brahma. Brahma cannot create the seeds, but he can manifest the seed into a tree, just as a gardener helps plants and orchards to grow by the watering process. Okay, so he says, I just water. The example cited here of the sun is very appropriate. In the material world, the sun is the cause of illumination. Fire, electricity, the rays of moon, etc. All luminaries in the sky are creations of the sun. The sun is the creation of Brahma Jyoti and Brahma Jyoti is the effulgence of the Lord. Thus, the ultimate cause of creation is the Lord. Okay, that's how. One may say the sun is illuminating, but where does the sun gets its illumination from? Brahma Jyoti. Where is the Brahma Jyoti emanating from? From the body of the Supreme Lord. Like that.
Re-squeezing the atta, that logic, isn't that slightly different to being empowered by the Lord? Because the first analogy seems to say that you squeeze the atta, make it ready, and just, I mean, whatever effort is put on the atta is now useless. where in this case it is that the artha is being squeezed by someone who is given the strength by the Lord. So it is still a useful endeavor, but
so
supported by the Lord.
That analogy, when Brahma speaks, it indicates his mood. We cannot speak the same thing about Brahma. That Brahma is useless, he doesn't do anything. Out of humility, he says, nothing is to my credit, everything was created by the Supreme Lord. Okay? He doesn't even say, I was an instrument and I did. He says, Pishta Peshan and Nyai, when he uses, indicates his mood. But when we use it, it is not perfect tattva. So when he uses, you should understand that he is using it. His using it indicates his humility. There is nothing to my credit. Mm-hmm. Okay. He will clarify it more in the next few verses. But we cannot say that Brahmaji didn't do anything. Then that is wrong. Brahmaji, so this analogy should be taken coming from Brahma. This should be taken as indicative of Brahmaji's humility.
It's a little confusing because suppose we see a devotee who has achieved wonderful results in his service. We can, from a tattva point of view, say that, okay, he has surrendered, and because of his surrender, he's been empowered to achieve something wonderful.
Yeah.
So are we glorifying his surrender or are we glorifying his achievement? What are we actually doing when we are glorifying a devotee?
We should be glorifying his surrender.
Not his achievement.
That is the one is superficially his achievements, but the substratum of that is his surrender.
Because mostly we glorify the number of books distributed, the amount of funds collected. We hardly ever glorify the time the devotee has spent or his particular mood in doing that service. We never actually look at these things in glorifying a particular devotee.
So we should start from now.
Okay, that is the thing we should glorify.
Yeah.
But can we say that the credit for all these things belongs to the devotee? For instance, if a devotee has distributed, say, 50 books, can we say this devotee is so wonderful? I mean, he has distributed 50 books. Isn't that, from a tattva point of view, incorrect?
No, it's correct. He has distributed 50 books means he has put in so much effort to distribute those 50 books.
Okay. But then it's the Lord who has actually achieved it. For instance, the devotee may not have put much effort. But if it's the Lord who has, or his karma to actually achieve that particular result on that particular day, and we say that he has distributed 50 books.
That's why His Grace Vamsi Vihari Prabhu used to be our BT, when we were having BT, so he used to be our BT coordinator, our in charge. So he used to always glorify that person who used to clock the maximum duration of time distributing books, not the person who would distribute maximum number of books, but who would put in the maximum effort trying to distribute books. That's a reasonable glorification. Because he's putting so much effort. Whether he may distribute many books or less books, that's okay. So ideally we should be glorifying his surrender. Ideally we should glorify anything that the devotee is doing, giving him the benefit of doubt. That is safe position for us.
Okay. Just taking it a step further. You indicated, Prabhuji, that from our point of view, we should see that Brahma has achieved such a wonderful result in creating this universe. Actually, similarly, Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, they would often comment that what has Srila Prabhupada done? It was predicted by Lord Chaitanya. He was instructed and empowered in that way, so he achieved this result. We were not empowered, so we did not achieve this result.
Mm.
When Prabhupada heard this, he would get a little upset, and he would say that that is not the point. The point is, I have accepted the order of my spiritual master, and that is why this result is manifested.
Yeah.
So what should we see? I mean, should we see
same
that Srila Prabhupada was...
Same thing. He has accepted the order of his spiritual master and he has achieved.
But then, from that point of view, then what is the credit?
Accepting the order. Okay. Accepting the order. He has accepted it. Not everyone accepted. Or other people accepted different orders, so they achieved different things. Prabhupada accepted this order, so he achieved this. It's glorious. How many people accept the order of the spiritual master with full faith and conviction in that order? When Prabhupada read that one commentary of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur of one verse, Yavasayatmika Buddhi, that changed his life. We read so many commentaries, so many verses of so many books. How many of those words transform our life? That one thing that he read, it transformed his life. He took it as his life and soul, and lived that way. So that is glorious. It's glorious.
But in terms of saying that, Srila Prabhupada is the most empowered personality. He has gone all around the world. He has done things that no previous acharya has ever done.
Yeah.
We speak of Srila Prabhupada in those terms.
Yeah. So what is wrong? Empowerment means ye yatamam prapadyante tamstatayo bhajamiham. Krishna says, to whatever extent you surrender, to that extent I reciprocate. That reciprocation, whether it is in terms of, giving knowledge about himself or empowering someone, to the extent that one surrenders, to that extent, the empowerment comes. So, if Prabhupada is more empowered, it means he is more surrendered. And when we see other people doing great things, we should think, he is more surrendered, therefore he is more empowered. When we are doing great things, we should think that it is Pishtapeshan Anyai, as Brahmaji is showing by his example. Nothing to my credit has already been ground by the Supreme Lord. That should be our mood. When we see others, we should see it as their surrender. When we see ourselves becoming successful, to think that way is not so favorable for our progress. Okay. So here, what Brahmaji says about himself, whatever Vaishnavas say about themselves, should not always be taken as tattva. It should be taken as indicative of their mood. Okay. So, one should know what should be taken literally and what should be taken as indicative of someone's mood. So here Brahmaji quoting this Pishtapeshana Nyaya should not be taken as tattva. It should be taken as indicative of his mode of humility. Like that. Okay. So then, he says, Tasmai namo bhagavate vasudevaya dhimahi yanmayaya durjayaya mam vadanti jagadgurum. He says, actually, so glorious, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Vasudev. I meditate on him. Tasmai namo bhagavate vasudevaya dhimahi. Let me meditate on this wonderful Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yan mayaya, because of whose maya, durjayaya, which is very difficult to overcome. Mam vadanti jagat gurum, people call me the guru of this universe. So potent is his maya potency that even though he is present as a supreme lord of this whole universe, still people come to such wrong conclusions that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If his maya potency is so powerful, if one of his energies, that is also not his superior energy, if his inferior energy is so powerful, then how powerful the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be, that people think that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though it's very clear that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So such is the potency of the Supreme Lord. You can understand his potency by seeing the potency of his inferior energy. That being covered by this inferior energy, people conclude that I am the Jagat Guru. Like that. So, Prabhupada writes in his purport, Brahmaji is very clear. He also says in Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna. Very clear. He is the Supreme Lord. Brahmaji, as a very responsible person, doesn't like to be addressed as a Supreme Lord. But some people do take pleasure in being addressed as God by their disciples who are like hogs and dogs. Shovit varahoshtra karaihi samstutaha purushaha pashu. Why such people do this is explained in the next verse, Prabhupada writes. Vilajjamanaya yasya statum ikshapate muya vimohita vikattante mamaham iti durdiyah. He says, why do such people speak like this? Why do they address various other people as the Supreme Lord? Durdiyah, these ignorant jivas, yasya vimohita, bewildered by this maya potency of the Supreme Lord. And who is this maya potency? Amuya ikshapate statum vilajjamanaya. What is the meaning of lajja? Shame. Vilajjamanaya. Because of her job profile, she feels so ashamed to come in on the line of sight of the Supreme Lord. Ikshapate means line of sight. She does not want to come in front of the Supreme Lord. Vilajjamanaya yasya statum ikshapate amuya. She is very ashamed that she is doing this job of keeping people away from Krishna. She is doing such a not so pleasurable job. She feels so ashamed to come in front of Krishna. So she always stays behind. Never comes in his line of sight. Okay. So being bewildered by this maya, vikantante mama aham iti. Being bewildered by this maya, people speak in terms of me and mine. So how do you identify a person who is bewildered and who is not bewildered? Brahmaji says, only one proof. Identify his language. The same thing that in 7th canto, Shandan Amarkar, the first time he speaks like this. Okay. So the first time Prahlad Maharaj goes to Narasimhadev, Hiranyakashipu, and Prahlad Maharaj, Hiranyakashipu asks, you know, what is the best thing that you have learnt? He says, Tatsadu Manye Asuravarya Dehinam Sada Samudvignadiyam. So what is Hiranyakashipu's reaction? Anyone knows? He starts laughing. He starts laughing that see how impressionable these children are. They don't even understand what they are speaking. But whatever is spoken to them, they repeat like that. Just like, you know, sometimes very small children, they start singing some cinema songs or something which are like not so good to hear. But they don't understand the meaning. They start singing like that, just like whatever they have heard. So Hiranyakashipu starts laughing. See, this small Prahlad Maharaj, see how impressionable these children are. Whatever they hear, they repeat like that. He tells Shandan Amarka, okay, take him back, okay? Make sure, you know, even by chance, these Vaishnavas don't enter into the Gurukul. Sometimes disguised as Brahmanas, they will enter the Gurukul. So please be on guard. Make sure he hears the right things. Because generally children tend to grab the wrong things more fast. So therefore you be very careful. So he laughs and lets them. But Shandan Amarka knows that next time this happens, Hiranyakashipu will not laugh. He will immediately chop off our heads. So Hiranyakashipu laughed, but Shandan Amarka took it very seriously. So they started probing Prahlad Maharaj. They started threatening him. Who taught you all these things? Okay? Is it our... Who taught you all this nonsense knowledge? Is it an act of our enemy? Or did you learn it by your friends? Who taught you this foolish knowledge? Prahlad Maharaj says, see, just by your language, you have proven who is foolish. Anyone who speaks in terms of enemy, friends, me, mine, is understood to be completely covered up by the illusory potency of the Lord. And he is understood to be in complete ignorance. Now, you are asking me the source of my ignorance. So, what should I say? Who is ignorant? From your language, you can, you know, one can understand. Only people who are completely bewildered by this illusory potency of the Lord speak in terms of me and mine, enemy and friends. You are asking, who is the cause of your ignorance? Is it our enemy? Then now you tell me who is ignorant, you or me. Like that Prahlad Maharaj says. So here Brahmaji says, you can identify these people by their language, what they are speaking. If they are speaking in terms of this is my body, this is my wife, this is my house, this is mine, and here I am, so and so, identifying with the body as self and things related to the body as one's own possessions, then one should understand that that person is bewildered by the Maya potency of the Supreme Lord, who is very ashamed to stand in front of the Supreme Lord. So Vishwanatha Chakravartikur mentions that the fact that she does not stand in his line of sight also indicates that she can never bewilder the Supreme Lord. Maya potency can never bewilder the Supreme Lord. Okay, that is indicated. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, the primary symptom of a bewildered person is that he talks nonsense. The first grade nonsense talk is aham mameti, speaking in terms of me and mine. How to overcome such an illusion? What is the solution that Krishna gives? What is the solution that Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita? About overcoming illusion. Mama maya duratyaya mamevaye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. Okay. This verse gives the identification of a bewildered person. What is this identification? Vimohita vikattante mamaham iti durdaya. He talks nonsense in terms of me and mine. Like that. Okay. So therefore, by explaining, so here Brahmaji has explained that only out of being covered, because of being covered by this Maya potency of the Lord, people speak like this, people address me as the Jagat Guru. Otherwise, there is no reason why I should be addressed as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says, see the potency of the Supreme Lord, that even his inferior energy has so much capacity to bewilder the living entities so much that they are addressing all these other living entities as the Supreme Lord. Like that. Okay, that is the second theme. Narada Muni has presented his questions, convictions and doubts. So here in this section, Brahmaji has removed the doubts of Narada Muni, and he has corrected his convictions. Okay. Now he will start answering the questions. First, he will answer the first question. Yadrupam, the characteristics of this universe. Dravyam karma cha kalascha swabhavo jiva evacha vasudevat paro brahman nachanyortosti tatvatah. Okay. O Brahman, O Brahmana, who is addressing whom? Brahmaji is addressing Narada Muni. Dravyam karma cha kalascha. Dravya is the elements, karma is karma, time is time, kala is time, swabhava and jiva. Vasudevat para, they are non-different from वासुदेव न च अन्यः अर्थः अस्ति तत्वतः नथिंग बट ही एग्जिस्ट इन ट्रूथ सो इफ यू टेक द कॉन्स्टिट्यूएंट्स ऑफ दिस मटेरियल यूनिवर्स यू कैन ब्रॉडली क्लासिफाई इट इनटू दिस फाइव एलिमेंट्स There is nothing else other than this five that is existing in this material world. Okay? Dravyam karmacha kalascha swabhavo jiva evacha. So jiva has two aspects, swabhava and karma. Swabhava indicates what he desires broadly, and karma indicates what he deserves. Desires and deserves. Swabhava indicates his broad desires based on the impressions that he has accumulated over many, many lifetimes, which has become his inherent nature. Karma indicates, based on his past activities, as a result of that, what he deserves. So karma, jiva, karma and swabhava. So karma and swabhava belong to jiva. It is a part of jiva shakti. Kala shakti is another shakti of the Supreme Lord. And dravya shakti is the inferior energy of the Supreme Lord. Maya shakti, it belongs to the maya shakti. So basically vasudevat paraha, they are non-different from vasudev. Nothing but he exists in truth. Nacha anyaha artaha asti tatvataha. In truth, there is nothing else that exists other than Vasudev. Why? Because in this material universe, you have Jiva Shakti possessing karma and swabhava. There is Kala Shakti, the time. And third, there is Maya Shakti, which produces all this dravya. All three are Shakti, Shakti, Shakti. But who is the Shaktiman? Vasudev. It is Vasudev's Shakti. So therefore, he says, there is nothing else. Whatever you see in this material world is composed of these five things. If you see any living entity, you understand he is made of karma and swabhava. You see the time factor acting, manifesting and unmanifesting various things. And those various things are dravya. So, dravyam karmacha kalascha swabhavo jiva evacha vasudevat paro brahman nacha artho asti tatvatah. Nothing else exists. Whatever you see as the form of the universe, understand the cause of all this is Vasudev. So, being the cause, because of the non-difference between the energy and energetic, the form of the universe is Vasudev only, like that. Okay, so here dravyam is the substance, karma is the cause of birth, kala is the agitator of the gunas, swabhava is the cause of the change in gunas, and jiva is the enjoyer. These are the five things. Now, none of these exist apart from the Lord, because items except the jiva are the effects of maya, and maya and the jiva are energies of the Supreme Lord. The universe is thus a form of Vasudev. This answers the question about the characteristics of the universe, like that. Okay, this is Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writing. Okay, so whatever you see in this material universe is composed of these five things. Okay, it's a combination of these five things, and all these five things are energies of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, because of the non-difference of the energy and the energetic, this form of the universe is made of is Vasudev only. Yes.
Generally, it is said that there are five elements that comprise the topics of the Vedanta Sutra and Bhagavad Gita also. I mean, I guess Ishwara is referred to here as Vasudeva. But generally, Svabhava and the elements are combined together under the name of Prakriti. Is there a particular reason as to why Svabhava is listed separately and Dravya is listed as
Dravya? Dravya is also a part of Prakriti only. Dravya is not everything. Dravya is only a part of Prakriti. Dravya is created by, it's a product of false ego in the mode of ignorance.
Oh, acha. So it doesn't include not Prakriti. Mind, intelligence.
Yeah.
So, okay. But then, there are things missing in this list, no? If we're talking about the characteristics of this universe, when we say that this is everything, wouldn't it mean that there are some things that are missing in this list?
Whatever visible thing that you see in this universe as the form of the universe is only this. You see the effect of time through its effect, karma through the result that a living entity gets, swabhava by the way he desires things, and the jivatma himself you see, and externally you see the elements. Okay.
But the swabhava and they act on the mind of the jiva.
The swabhava is stored in the mind. Mind stores the impressions. Mind is the reservoir of all impressions. So by swabhava, it indicates the subtle body also. Subtle body is indicated by swabhava. The elements indicate the gross manifestations of elements, karma, and time, and the jiva.
But is there a particular reason as to why the elements in Svabhava have then been listed separately? Or it's
elements, grass, Svabhava, subtle.
Okay, so the elements include the 16 elements.
Because elements you can perceive through your Pratyaksha, Svabhava through your Anuman.
Okay. So Svabhava here includes the false ego,
mind, intelligence, mind along with the reservoir of all impressions of enjoyment and suffering.
The three modes, material, nature, everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, bro, you had some questions.
In the VCT commentary, it says it's 10 questions. Did I miss that?
Oh, yeah. 10 questions where? Where does it say?
In the VCT commentary for that.
Where? 10?
For that verse.
Oh, is it? For which verse?
14.
14.
Acha.
5 questions were asked, it says. Isn't it?
Is that in your copy?
Probably, yeah. Okay. Next. So that talks about yadrupam. Okay. Dravyam karma cha kalascha svabhavo jiva eva cha vasudevat paro brahman nacha artho anyasti tattvatah. Then he talks about the next question. Yad adishtanam, the shelter. Okay. Narayana paraveda deva narayanangaja narayana paraloka narayana paramakha. So he says, Narayana Paraveda, if you think the shelter of this universe is the four Vedas, the Vedas actually shelter this whole universe, then understand that Narayan is the shelter of these Vedas. Okay. Deva Narayanangaja, if you think that the Devatas are the shelter of this universe, understand that they are just the limbs of Narayan. Narayana Paraloka, if you think that the planets offer the shelter to all living entities, understand the Supreme Lord is the shelter of the planets. Narayana Paramaka, if you think the sacrifices are sustaining this whole universe, therefore the sacrifices are the shelter of this universe, then understand that sacrifices are dependent on Narayan. Narayan gives shelter to the sacrifices. Narayana Paro Yogo. If you think that the various yogic processes, the spiritual practices of Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, etc., if you think they are the ultimate shelter, understand they are dependent on Narayan. Okay. If you think tapasya is the shelter, Narayana Param Tapaha. Okay. Austerity is dependent on Narayan. Narayana Param Jnanam, if you think, if I am endowed with knowledge, you know, that is the supreme most, I am independent, then understand that knowledge is also dependent on Narayan. Narayana Param Gatihi, Paragatihi. Okay. Liberation is also dependent on Narayan. So therefore, the ultimate shelter of everything, whatever there is in this material world with you, Ching, which you think is worthy of taking shelter, understand that Narayan is the source of shelter of that, all those sub-shelters. Okay. So therefore, by these two verses, he is establishing Lord Narayan as the shelter of everything. So the word para means cause. The word para also means shelter. So when you say Narayana para Veda, there are two meanings. One is the Vedas came from Narayan. Okay, he is the cause. It also means he is the cause in two ways. You can understand? Like if I say, this amenities building, the guests are the cause of amenities building. Is it right to say that the guests are the cause of this amenities building? It's true, isn't it? Because if the guests would not come, this amenities building would not have been built in first case. So therefore, the guests are the cause of this amenities building. Okay? But they are not the cause. They are the cause in that sense. But then the cause of this amenities building is the various workers and the engineers and the architects who are involved. So in both sense, the Lord is the shelter of everything. Lord is the para, cause. One sense, for example, Vedas. Narayana para Veda. The Vedas directly emanate from him. So he is the cause, direct cause. Second way, why do the Vedas exist? Nitai Chaitanya Prabhu, why do the Vedas exist? In Bhagavad Gita, what does Krishna say? Vedaischa sarvaiv ahameva vedya. The purpose of Vedas is to know me. So if the Lord is not there, even though then there is no purpose for these Vedas. So just as if guests are not there is no purpose for this amenities building. We could have Vidyapit class elsewhere also. But this was specifically created for the purpose of that guests could come and have their this thing or the communal cottage. So in both ways, Lord Narayan is the cause. And also he is giving the shelter. So para means shelter, para means cause in both ways. Okay? Cause as in, as in directly causing that thing, and cause in the sense of created for what purpose? For his cause. Vedas were created so that people through the Vedas could know him. Like that. So in that sense, he is the cause and shelter of everything that we see. Anything that's worthy, that you think is worthy of taking shelter in this material world, understand that the ultimate shelter of that is Lord Narayan. Like that. Okay. That answers two questions. Yadrupam, Yadadishtanam. So now, before he goes to the third question, he takes a small, he wants to come back because he wants to make perfectly sure that Narada Muni still does not have even a tinge of doubt that maybe Brahmaji is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he says, okay, before I answer the next question, let me again ensure that you have understood it right, that I am not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay? There is some basic difference between me and the Supreme Lord. It's not that he is, you know, he has some 10 qualities better than me, therefore he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not like that.